Blog Talk Radio.
A Johnny is a joker, a very funny joker, but when he took my honey, joking is so funny. Johnny is a joker that's been trying to steal my baby. Johnny sings a love song, he sings the sweetest love song, but when he sings to my gal, he's just a wolf dog. Johnny wants to fly away and I'm happy to love my baby. Hey, bird dog, get away from my trail. Hey, bird dog, you're on the wrong trail. Bird dog, get back out of my lonely dog alone. Hey, bird dog, get away from my chick. Hey, bird dog, you better get away quick. Bird dog, you gotta find a chicken little of your own. Johnny kissed a teacher.
He's a bird.
Tripped out off the reacher.
He's a bird.
Well, he's the teacher's pet now.
He's a dog.
What does he get now?
What a dog.
Even then, a teacher let him sit next to my baby. My quail. Hey bird dog, you're on the wrong trail. Bird dog, you better leave my lovely dog alone. Hey bird dog, get away from my chick. Hey bird dog, you better get away quick. Bird dog, you better find a chicken middle of your own.
Yeah, he's a bird.
Yeah, he's a dog.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Depending on where you are tuning in from, welcome. This is Darcy Butkus, otherwise known as Inspector Bark. I am a licensed private investigator here in the state of Georgia, and I also own my own detective agency. I named it Inspector Bark, because what I do is I sniff out the best and the worst in canine care. I spend the majority of my time investigating and researching animal rescue organizations throughout this country. It started out with just Florida rescues, and from there it expanded along the East Coast and now throughout the country. I speak to people all over the great USA. And it's now even reached, with today's episode, into other parts of the world. You're going to be hearing from a gentleman from Scotland, as well as our regular co-host, Karen, who will call in a few minutes, give about 15 minutes, from Alaska. I want to talk about, for the next 15 minutes, what we're going to be discussing in this two-hour podcast, which, by the way, will go very, very fast. I welcome people to call in. The number, and I will repeat it throughout the show, and I will let you know when the opportunity is to call in. The phone number is 563-999-3599. So many of you received the email, which contained the link to this show, and the title of the podcast is titled Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Friend or Foe to the Animals. Tune in. Is Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram helping or hindering animal abusers? I know this is upsetting to read, but we truly have a serious, disturbing, and upsetting event unfolding right in front of our own eyes, all played out on social media platforms. How can this be? How can YouTube allow such horrific torture of innocent animals on the channels that are using their platform to attract sick and deranged individuals? This is happening more often than you want to believe. Just like child sex trafficking and pornography, The billion-dollar industry. B as in boy. Billion-dollar industry worldwide. This is in the same category, in my opinion. We will be discussing this very disturbing and alarming subject on this podcast, airing right now. In addition, we will be discussing more related topics involving our four-legged friends, touching on more questionable and unethical rescues that are not putting the needs of the animals first and foremost. Let's band together and do what is right for these innocent, voiceless creatures. If you wish to call into the show, as I mentioned before, with any questions, comments, or thoughts, we welcome you to. Join me, Inspector Bark, and my guests in bringing awareness to the public by gaining knowledge, awareness, and to help spread the word on what is happening on the deep, dark web, otherwise known as social media. Lady Freethinker will be joining our show. Lady Freethinker is a Facebook page you might want to check out. Again, it is Lady and then Freethinker is all one word. They are doing a wonderful job. They are a 501c3. I looked on the IRS records. They are based out in California. The founder, Nina, will be calling in, and she will be discussing what they are doing to help fight and remove these horrific videos that are being shared on platforms. We will also ask Nina to talk about, and I pulled up an article that I found that occurred in 2019, and I'm going to ask Lady Freethinker to expand on this, and it talked about the Facebook social, it talks about Lady Freethinker, an animal rights group, have accused Facebook of ignoring its own policies on violent content and the sale of animals by allowing its site to be used by dog fighting organizers. This was a article May 27th of 2019, we are going to touch on that because we are seeing, and even the government is now looking at these big tech platforms. We're talking YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Why are they allowing this type of horrific videos to be shown? We're going to talk about YouTube in length and how a group of wonderful people who will be calling on the show momentarily, but before that, we're going to really get up to speed on what's going on with different rescues and all that. So if Facebook is not a friend to the animals, do you think it's a friend to the children? And according to what people are seeing and tracking, they're not. They're allowing child abusers to come on and lure children into different groups or what have you. So there's another article I just pulled up dated December 10th of this year, and it's from the Epoch Times called Rampant Online Child Abuse Spurs Calls for Big Tech to ID Users on Sign Up. And it's really disturbing that these platforms, I'm sure, are fully aware of what's going on. Children are getting onto their Instagram accounts. This was all discussed recently in the government, and you've got the head of Facebook, which is Mark Zuckerberg. We've got, I think Instagram is also owned by Facebook, and they plead like they're taking care of these things by algorithms and all that, and I think what they're doing basically is sugarcoating it, telling you what you want to hear, even in front of government, even in front of the government. And it's got to stop because it's affecting not only children, but it's affecting the innocent animals who cannot speak for themselves. So we're going to talk about that at length, and we're going to wait probably to the second half of the show to discuss more in detail about YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. When we do get to that subject matter, I will talk about how so many people, I'm not going to say so many, the ones that I talk with are really trying to make a difference. How do you make a difference, folks? Not by sitting on Facebook. Yes, it's important to get the information out there, for sure. It's important to share it on your personal wall, in groups, and pages like we do on a regular basis. There are some great pages out there that need to have your attention, and please, please like them. I say this on every show. I'm asking you. It's all of 10 seconds. Facebook page, The Bad and the Ugly in the World of Pets. The Bad, the and symbol, the Ugly in the World of Pets. Please get on Facebook right now and like it. The other page is Guard Dog USA. They do a great job. And let me give you the correct name, Guard Dog USA Exposing Pet Flippers, Bad Rescues, Abusers, Breeders, etc. It's a great title. It's a little long. I think that between these two pages, and then we have another one that is a group page, but you have to be invited in. I will get that to you in a minute. I'll look that up. But what we're seeing happening is because we're getting the evidence out there, the documentation, the testimonials on these questionable rescues, they don't like that, folks. They don't want people to know that they're not really a reputable rescue. They're hiding behind the facade of a 501c3. And what we're seeing more and more is when we do a deep dive into these people's background, you wonder and you ask yourself, well, how the heck can the IRS even give these people a nonprofit status? Because it's getting out of hand. And quite honestly, I think they're abusing the 501c3 status. These rescues are not regulated, meaning there is no oversight committee. We have to be the oversight committee. We have to be the eyes and the ears and the voice for these animals. Let's talk about a few things that are occurring throughout the country. And I'm going to talk about Colorado. So if anybody is listening in from Colorado and you want to give a shout out and call in, please do, because we're going to talk about what I think is making wonderful success roads to improving animal welfare. And what they're doing is they're changing the laws and they're going to legislation. They're going to their representatives throughout their state to help support better laws for animals. Again, if you want to call in to discuss, I'm going to share a couple things that are basically cutting edge legislation for the animals. Number again is 563-999-3599. So here's what's happening here in the state of Colorado. House Bill 21-1160. The first two numbers is always the year that the law was implemented. This actually occurred just in May of this year, okay? And basically, it is a house concerning the care of pet animals and the custody of certain pet animal facilities. It goes into detail, but basically, in summary, what this law is all about, the act requires each animal shelter and pet animal rescue to, number one, provide each dog and cat held in its custody with timely veterinarian care to address and prevent unnecessary or unjustifiable pain and suffering. Let me repeat that again. Provide each dog and cat held in its custody with timely veterinarian care to address and prevent unnecessary or unjustifiable pain and suffering. Number two, address the behavioral needs of each dog and cat held in its custody to ensure that the dog or cat is not housed or kept in a manner that fosters stereotypic or self-mutilating behavior. The act also makes it unlawful for a person to import or cause to be imported any dog or cat for the purpose of sale by a pet animal facility unless a dog or cat has a certificate of veterinarian health and if the dog or cat is over 6 months old, proof of rabies vaccination. What the state of Colorado has been seeing is an influx of these dogs coming into their state. A lot of them are not properly vetted, as mentioned here, with the veterinarian certificate of health. That is mandatory when they cross state line. Mandatory. And that is to piggyback on to how are these dogs getting into these states? Well, in my opinion, they're going into these states underground dog trafficking operations, these transports. They're not registered with the USDA. They're crossing multiple state lines. And if you think transporting dogs in the back of an Enterprise or a U-Haul without the proper ventilation, that's not transporting properly. That's not transporting responsibly. So what is occurring here is we have bad rescues aligning themselves with bad transporters, all to do what? To make money off the backs of these animals. To make the money off the backs of these animals. When people speak up, otherwise known as a whistleblower, you know what happens? They get told to keep their mouth shut. They get told they will get sued. They get told that they will sue them, get their attorney involved, send them threatening emails. This occurred in a state, not going to give you that state, where the person was a foster. She witnessed these animals were not being properly cared for. They were stuck in boarding for several months. And another term for that, people, is kennel craze. These dogs need to get out and get proper stimulation. They need to roll in the grass. They need to walk and sniff every tree they come across. That's what dogs are on this earth for. And if you just put them in a boarding facility for months and months on end, do you think that's rescue? That's warehousing dogs. And they take the money from their donors and lock the poor damn dog up in boarding. Is that a way for an animal to live? So Colorado is buckling down on that. So this particular foster ends up adopting a dog, and she has to sign a contract. Well, she reviews the contract, signs it, which most people do, right? They're excited about adopting their dog. Their little puppy's going to come home, and the kids are all excited. They've got the doggy bed ready. They've got their toys. They sign a contract because, you know, hey, it's a rescue. They're doing good for the animal. And what happens? Their animal gets sick. Their puppy, come to find out, is taken to a vet and diagnosed with parvo. The vet tells them, looks like you got yourself a sick puppy from maybe a bad rescue, perhaps. They go and they say something to the rescue. The rescue starts threatening them with emails. The founder of this particular rescue. It's in the west part of the country. And she starts looking at the contract more carefully and saying, wow, so if your dog is sick or your cat dies or it comes down with something or the rescue failed to properly vet them, you can't say anything because you signed this contract. Talk about trying to shut people up. That's what's happening, folks. That is what's happening. And it's pretty sad that these rescues Why do they have to go to that extent of putting that in their contract? And if you break the contract, guess what? They can take your dog or cat back. So now your family's attached to this dog. It's a part of your family. It's a family member. It sleeps in bed with your 8-year-old daughter. But they're going to take the dog back. Well, where do you think they're going to put that dog, you guys? They're at capacity. They're going to take that dog out of a loving environment and shove it in boarding. Because you know what they're doing? They're punishing you. But really, in essence, they're punishing the animal. And we are seeing more and more shady rescues that are behaving in this manner. We're seeing rescues that, if you ask a simple question, where did Sally go? The dog I contributed $50 to. I never see any happy freedom pictures. What do you see? The general public sees the freedom picture, as they call it, where the dog is sitting in a car. Is that a freedom picture? How do we not know that that person takes a dog, drives it around the shelter, and then maybe shoves the dog back in shelter or moves it a few miles away into boarding? Is that rescue? But meanwhile, they just made $2,000-$3,000 because they're begging. Please, please, please hurry. This dog is going to die. What do? They pull on people's heartstrings. And it works because really, for the most part, the general public is very kind-hearted and they want to help the animals. So they'll dig in their pocket for their last $5 to help that animal. How would you like it if that money was going to pay for a pedicure or pay for dinner with their husband? This is what's happening, folks, whether you want to believe it or not. So don't trust a rescue that is several hundred miles away. They may be good at social media, on their Facebook page. They may have a couple hundred thousand likes on Facebook. But does that mean that they're putting the animal's needs first and foremost? Or is it just a ploy to rope you in? Let's talk about a couple things. We talked about Colorado. You know, it's funny. I send out 3 blast emails. I usually do it the Friday before the Wednesday podcast. I do it on Monday, and I do it on the Wednesday morning. If any of you have not received it and would like to be on my contact list, please go to Inspector Bark Facebook page and send me a private message. Send me your email. Or you can email me at info@inspectorbark.com. And you know what I find is I have different group listings for different parts of the country. And I have one specifically for HSUS. We know what that stands for. Humane Society of the United States. HSUS. Humane Society of the United States has a state director in each one of our 50 states. Some cover 2 states, mainly in the Midwest. I found their website. I wrote down all their emails. I put them in my contact list, and I made it as a group, HSUS, Inspector Bark, contact list. I started that maybe a year ago, year and a half, and I think I counted by memory maybe 42 or 44 HSUS directors, because remember, some have 2 states. And when I added that group, within maybe 2 or 3 podcasts after that, I started getting 3 or 4 of them responding, unsubscribe. Unsubscribe. I think to myself, you're the Humane Society of the United States. Wouldn't you want to know who the bad apples are out there? And I know that people don't want to hear negative, and they refer to it as drama. I'm sorry, folks, it's not drama when animals' lives are at stake. We have to face this head on. Like the group that is going to be talking the last hour to 45 minutes of this show about what they're doing to help combat these horrible videos. A lot of them are done in other parts of the world, Cambodia, Vietnam, Pakistan. But you know what? YouTube is worldwide. And we will talk about some of the successes they've had, along with Lady Freethinker coming on and doing a bang-up job on their end. So let's talk about what happens when you want to report a rescue that you feel does not have the animal's needs as their first priority. Well, you put it out on social media, right? A lot of you will share it on your personal page, and then from there, people will share it in groups and pages and what have you. Next thing you know, these people are threatening a lawsuit, okay? Or what they'll do, they're known for personal attacks. They will do everything in their power to distract, deflect, defame, discredit, derail, and discriminate. All these. Distract, deflect, defame, discredit, derail, and discriminate. They'll send a cease and desist letter. Now, a cease and desist letter, for all you people that may not know so much about the legal end of things, I'm not a lawyer, nor do I claim to be. I do consult with attorneys because I do own my own detective agency, so I do work with some attorneys. Why would you think they would send you a cease and desist? You know why? They want to silence you. They must be afraid of you, and they must be afraid of your voice. Think about that. A lot of times a cease and desist will be sent out. Again, let me stress, that is not a legal document. That's what I've been told. It is not a legal document. And I believe it is a scare tactic to shut you up. Well, guess what? The more people that come forward, the better we have of success in exposing somebody or those that are doing wrong to the animals. We're going to talk about my old stomping ground, which is Broward County, Florida. I lived there for several years. I now reside in North Georgia. Something took place last week where a whistleblower went into a so-called rescue on Commercial Boulevard called United Dog Rescue. What this whistleblower saw and heard and witnessed was traumatizing to this individual. She was met by a very aggressive, alleged aggressive individual who confronted her, wanted to know why she was in the place among all these dogs barking, right? Terrible sound of dogs barking. The place looks somewhat run down. It didn't look as clean and pristine as it did years ago. Paint's all chipped on the floor. Just really lack of care. These dogs were deafening. But what she did glance at was in a tiny, cramped bathroom. In the dark, no windows, was what she thought looked like a very, very underweight small dog. It went out on social media, and it was picked up by numerous shares. I got the call last Saturday, a week ago Saturday. I was actually in Publix when I got a call from another admin that runs another page and said, did you see this in your stomping grounds, your old stomping grounds? I said, oh, what now? She read it to me. And I got home, and I went onto the Facebook page, and lo and behold, I actually know the person who shared the story. I reached out to her. I said, I want to speak to the whistleblower. Have her call me. Have her block her number. I got calls that night and then the following day, which was Sunday, a week ago. We got the wheels in motion. We did what we needed to do, and that one dog was rescued from a rescue. Of course, my doorbell rings, so dogs are allowed to bark. So this dog was rescued, immediately taken to the vet the following day, which is what you're supposed to do. And this vet determined that this little dog, now named Minnie, had hookworms and Giardia, and weighed 7 pounds when the dog should have weighed 15 pounds. A, why was that dog kept in a little dark room? Is this the way rescue is run? Well, maybe it is for United Dog Rescue. The founders that own United Dog Rescue is a woman by the name of Doris Hatch and her son, Warren Hatch. Well, it's funny because the link, when you follow the trail and you do a deep dive, they were once associated with another rescue that's under several people's radar. That rescue is also located in Oakland Park, Florida, which is right there in the heart of Fort Lauderdale, called Animal Aid. Animal Aid is no stranger to this show. Matter of fact, we did 3 podcasts back in, I want to say later, 2017 to 2018. Whistleblowers, more than one, came on the show. Each show is recorded. I believe it was the second show that we did that the attorney for Animal Aid, his name is Kevin Fabricant, called into the show. Now, anybody can call in. It shows up a phone number, doesn't show up a name. And he called in my opinion, he was quite arrogant, pompous, and then he hung up. Well, guess what? That lawsuit is going on 3.5 years now. Everything is public record, folks. You are allowed to listen in on the public hearings via Zoom. It is our right, public information. Look on the BrowardClerk.org docket. You'll see Tamara Sparkman, who is the owner of Animal Aid, has been in the news in the past. Years ago, there was a show that we can't pinpoint what news station, where there were complaints of how the dogs were being treated at Animal Aid. Okay? But when you have a lot of money that you get through most likely donations, sure you can sue people. Because probably what they're doing is using donation dollars meant for the animals on lawsuits. Why are these lawsuits occurring? Why do we have one in Kentucky with a whistleblower there? Why do we have another one in Broward County, actually this one's in Miami, with another so-called rescue suing somebody? Why? To shut them up. And it's pretty sad because I wonder if the donors know that the money most likely is going toward these frivolous lawsuits. And that's what I think they are, frivolous. And that's my First Amendment right. So I listen in on these interesting hearings with Animal Aid versus the whistleblower by the name of Mindy Lee. We all saw years ago when this all started, the so-called cat sanctuary in Naples, Florida, across Alligator Alley to the west coast of Florida. And there was a woman working there as a caretaker. We have her version on tape. Fence blew down. Panthers were coming in and killing these cats. This was a sanctuary, or so people thought. So Tamara had this cat sanctuary in Naples and told people, yes, you want to surrender your your cat? One woman gave $500 thinking her cat was going to a sanctuary. Why is it that several witnesses that called on into the show, there's three of them, said that they had to bring their own cleaning supplies to animal aid because she had no money? But when you look up in the property appraiser's website, public information again, people, Tamara Sparkman, LLC, owns what, 5, 6, 7 properties? But you don't work outside of the rescue. Here's another twist in this little interesting operation. Dr. David Green, veterinarian. Dr. David Green, let me sit back down. I was told I'm getting cut out. Okay, sorry. He is on probation by the Florida Veterinarian Board. He's on probation. He's an older man. You want to see what he looks like? Go to The Bad and the Ugly in the World of Pets. And there you will see the report from the veterinarian board. And he's on probation. So if I lived in Broward County, would I be going there? Absolutely not. And for all of you that are trapping cats in the Broward County area, if I were you, I'd go over to pet population. I think they're located in Pompano. So here's another twist. On a Facebook page, there was a question asked. A big page. I think they have 7,700 followers on Broward Community Cats, it's called. It's a group page. And they ask, what vet is animal aid using? What vet? Simple question. And nobody could seem to answer the question. They danced around it. I was tagged in the conversation. I see the name. I go in and do my own research. Another person was doing research. Other people were private messaging me. And this is a problem. If you speak up, these interesting characters that run these rescues get their attorneys to try to silence you. But let me tell you something, folks. Power in numbers. Power in numbers. And if you all come forward with your experiences, and we are seeing more people coming forward, we will get results. We asked who Dr. Alex was. Nobody could tell us his last name. Nobody could tell us his last name. That post has come down, but thank goodness people captured the conversation. So why isn't it a simple question? What is the name of the vet that is doing invasive procedures? What's his last name? If they're not willing to give the last name, doesn't that sound a little suspicious to you? We've got a serious problem down there, in my opinion, Broward County. We're hearing a lot of complaints about the shelter even. Broward County Animal Care and Control. They are another one that's no stranger to the news. A couple years back, was it maybe 4 or 5 years ago? They were in the news because the director at that time was falsifying documents to make it look good, to make it look like they weren't euthanizing animals. One of the concerned commissioners back then blew it open. And thank God the media got involved, and that's what we need. Now we're seeing another new director. She'll be there a year next month, by the name of Emily Wood. Why are people leaving that have been volunteers for months, on end at this shelter? Is it perhaps Emily Wood is chasing him out because she wants to run her own little operation? Does she not want these caring, loving individuals to see what's happening? Why did a dog just maybe a month ago get euthanized when a great rescue in Palm Beach County had already put a hold on this dog? The day before, or maybe even that same day, Big Dog Ranch put a hold on a dog, meaning we will take that dog. We're reserving that dog. They watched a video that same day, could have been the day before. Dog was doing great. Dog was interacting with another dog. And then next thing you know, the dog got euthanized. This situation, what we're seeing, coupled with the next segment discussing YouTube and Facebook and allowing torture of animals to be viewed, we feel that bad people have infiltrated the world of animal rescue. We've seen this in shelters. We've seen this in rescues. We've seen it with animal control officers. Why are they around animals? Because it appears to so many, they don't care. And I often, let me read this because I always keep it by my desk. I feel what happens over time, and I said this on one of the podcasts when we were talking about animal aid. I think what happens over time, these people, again, they just look at these animals as financial pawns. They become emotionally detached. I think they become completely removed and totally desensitized. They look at these animals as a means of making money off of them. And that's sad. That's very sad. If anybody wants to call in, you can, you know, I'll open up the lines. The number is 563-999-3599. I write that down and I look at it all the time. Emotionally detached, completely removed, and totally desensitized. People, we have something called our First Amendment right. Freedom of speech. Powerful. Powerful amendment. So don't let anybody silence you. Don't let anybody try to intimidate you. Because they will try to do that. I took a quote. I watch the news all the time. And I guess I'm a news junkie, call it that. And I took a quote from, it was the lieutenant governor of North Carolina. I've got a call. I see you in the switchboard. Just stand by. Lieutenant governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson. And he said, I'm making the devil mad. Guess what? I'm making the devil mad. I may be Inspector Bark, but you will not muzzle me. I think I'm going to change the podcast name to, what do you think about this? Inspector Bark is problematic. Because I make problems for people that are not doing what they should. If your goal is to provide a rescue, a shelter, a safe haven for animals, then by golly, do it right. Why is it left up to good, kind, caring volunteers at United Dog Rescue? Matter of fact, go to Guard Dog USA on Facebook. Guard Dog USA, they did a story on United Dog Rescue. Why is it up to these volunteers when Doris and Warren Hatch, who are the founders, who, by the way, in 2019, they brought in $163,000. And who is this character that lives upstairs? Fletcher, who apparently, it appears, and it sounds like, had severe anger issues, and four people witnessed it. They witnessed it last Sunday. Maybe five. So if you have an attitude and you're aggressive towards humans, one must ask themselves, how are they a dog trainer when you have most likely anger issues with humans? You're going to take that anger out on these poor defensive animals? So United Dog Rescue, my opinion, you're a D-. And you really need to close your doors because you're not doing those animals any justice, letting them sit there and rot. Shame on you. I'm going to bring in this caller. Stand by. Okay. Good afternoon. You are on the phone with Inspector Bark.
Stand by.
You got to turn off your radio. Turn off your radio, please.
Good afternoon.
I'm echoing.
You are on the phone with Inspector Bark.
Hello.
Better. Thank you so much. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very good. And thank you so much for this opportunity to speak out and for everything that you're exposing. And I want to let you know that you're not making problems, but you're opening up dialogue to help solve problems. So it's greatly appreciated. And I want to talk a little bit about, and thank you for bringing up the Broward County Shelter, which has multiple issues going on. You spoke earlier about rescues giving adopters and fosters sick animals. What about when a shelter gives a rescue a sick animal and expects the rescue group to pay the medical bills to heal the animal? How egregious is that? Because that's what we have going on at Broward. We also have volunteers, or supposed volunteers, who think they're doing good, but in order to volunteer, they must sign away their First Amendment rights, because if they see something, they cannot say something once they sign away their rights. Sorry, but my assistant is agreeing with me here.
That's okay. Dogs are allowed to bark.
Okay. And also we have...
Do we have a sample of that contract? Not to cut you off. There's going to be like a three-second delay. Is there a sample of that contract where these volunteers are told to sign silence treatment, what have you?
We can get a copy of that. Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so it does state that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That they cannot take photographs. They cannot in any way badmouth the shelter if they see something. So, yeah, that would be infringing on First Amendment rights, in my opinion, as well. So, and we also have rogue rescues that have been approved as shelter rescues who receive dogs, and mostly the dogs that they receive have a large amount of money donated to them. And oftentimes, those animals are never to be seen from or heard from again once they are given to these questionable rescues and the money has been dispersed. So we have a lot of issues here. I have a feeling there are other shelters in the country that have dealt with the same issues. And if they have, I would like to know how they have resolved them and if they've been able to eliminate these kind of issues, because we're trying to figure it out in Broward. And that would be helpful to know how other people have been successful. So thank you for everything that you do. It's greatly appreciated. You provide us also an opportunity to connect with other people who are experiencing some of the same egregious types of behaviors. So thank you, Inspector Bark.
Well, do you have a few more minutes? Because I do want to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure, go ahead.
Do you have to go? Okay. And again, let me just rattle out the phone number in case anybody wants to jump in. Area code 563-999-3599. So I don't know if you heard me talk earlier about a situation in the west part of the country where this foster signed a contract, okay? And
yes, I did.
She did remove an animal that was in boarding that was this rescue's dog, and the dog was literally on death's door. It was horrible. And she posted something on her Facebook page, and they started sending her emails. The founder was talking to her and writing to her in terms of almost like legal language. And then I was sent these emails, and sure enough, this particular person was copying her attorney. So she was sending what I thought were very harassing emails to this individual who she had volunteered for them for 3 years, right? And this is the way they treat their volunteers. So she was getting, I'd say, at least 3 or 4 emails. I saw them all. And when I did my background check, I realized, okay, this person is the attorney for this person. Some of these attorney, some of these rescues bring in a lot of money. When you referenced this rogue rescue, you're talking about the rescue that recently got banned out of Miami called Humans and Animals United. Miami-Dade banned Humans and Animals United because they couldn't find dogs. When they asked the founder, Rosa Fund, we want to see this dog, and this dog, and they couldn't come up with the dog. Not only that, but they had received complaints that pledges and donations went toward these dogs. The people are now asking, well, we're not getting any answer about where the dogs are because they can't give you an answer. So what they do is they block you from posting on their Facebook page. So the other thing that also was what I think put the final nail in the coffin was forged documents. And at least one I know that was forged allegedly, although we firmly believe and we can bring it in the court of law that this was a forged document on behalf of Rosa Fund. So if you do a deep dive into these people that run this particular rescue, they don't have, let's put it this way, in my opinion, they don't have upstanding background, let's put it that way. And it's sad because these people are the ones that are supposed to be saving the dogs. They have a following, and the people believe it. But what also they have is a little team that help beg for pledges. Beg, 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 and they say, hurry, hurry, hurry. And then finally, what they'll do is they'll put a hold on a dog. And now she's allowed to pull at Broward County. But people are looking at that. Don't worry about that. There's other people that are going to be coming forward because we have to write emails. It's not just talking about it on my podcast or talking about it on social media. It has to be written and sent. And possibly, in my opinion, news media needs to get involved. Because, again, this is no stranger. This shelter is no stranger. I want to know why Emily Wood, who is the director, who's been there since January, why did she tell an animal control officer in Davie, Florida, which is a municipality within Broward County, to let the dog just leave it where it is? The dog, which two police officers in Davie saw, had run across the street and fell in the canal and was drowning. The two officers, and there's a police report to prove it, went and saved this dog, thinking they could bring it to the shelter. Emily Wood says, oh, no, no, no. It's in writing. The animal control officer in Davie reported to her boss, who I know personally, Danny Stallone. I lived in Davie. How do you turn your back on a municipality where I would think is paying taxpayer dollars for that $16 million shelter that was just built, what, 3-4 years ago?
5 years ago, yeah.
Okay. So why are you turning your back on surrounding towns? I know for a fact I spoke to a police officer regarding another subject in Lauderhill. Lauderhill, Florida, is in Broward County. And the particular officer that I was talking to about a case there, he said he had a dog in his patrol car heading to the shelter. And his sergeant told him, don't go. They're saying they're full. So is that the excuse that Emily Wood is using? So if you don't bring in intake, you're not euthanizing the dog. So no intake equals no euthanization equals quote unquote no kill. You get it? And just on that note, my third podcast blast that went out this morning, lo and behold, she was on the list and she asked to be unsubscribed. So I would think if we're talking about rescues in question, and I was a shelter director, by golly, I want to know who those bad apples are. So it proves to me, in my opinion, that these people may possibly not be in it for the welfare of the animals, and they just have a job. I've been at conferences here in Georgia, and there is a guy that used to be the president of the National Animal Care and Coalition, NACA. Great guy, John Thompson, retired law officer. And he does a great job talking to animal control officers in the audience, rescues, shelters. And he stood up there and he said, a lot of you are here because you're forced to be here. A lot of you are here because your boss made you. Maybe you need the, you know, community hours, the contact, the hours needed. Some of you do care. But I can look through the audience and I can see when I'm lecturing whether or not who's really here for helping to improve their job performance, helping the animals. And he was great. I've listened to him a few times. And matter of fact, I really need to call him and get him on a show. But other than that, is there anything else you'd like to share regarding Broward County Shelter?
Oh, there's so much, but I'll yield to other people who might have something to share as well that might help somebody else too. So thank you for everything that you do.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you for calling in. So you have a very nice afternoon.
And you too. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. You're welcome. At this time, gang, it is almost my time for 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to ask Karen from Alaska if you would kindly call in, and you are going to be patching in Justice for Animals. That's Justice, the number 4, Animals. They're going to be discussing this whole thing about YouTube and what they are finding on the dark web. And by golly, it is a dark web. I'll wait for them to call in. The number is 563-999-3599. There they are. They're right here. So just let me go ahead and cross off this number. Okay. And then in about 15 minutes, we're going to have the founder of Lady Freethinker. Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit about what they've discovered. And just so you know, I took another quote. And forgive me, I don't know who quoted this, but it says here, criminally deranged individuals are walking our streets. Criminally deranged criminals, individuals are walking our streets. And that's really what's happening in the world today. It's pretty, pretty scary. On that note, let's bring in Karen and Justice.
Hi.
Good afternoon. Hi.
This is Karen Les from Alaska, and I'd like to introduce Justice Animalist from Scotland.
Hi, can you hear me?
Very nice. Yes, I can hear you, Justice. Thank you so much. Little bit of staticky, maybe if you try to hold your phone still or if your headset is moving, just a slight bit of staticky.
Apologies, that may have been a fault.
It's okay, but you know, I'll tell you what. What we'll do is we'll start with Karen and Justice. If it's your headset, then we'll just have you mute yourself. You can unmute yourself. So, Karen, why don't you go ahead and tell the audience what you and Justice are here today to speak about.
Today, Justice and I are here to speak about the unimaginable. We are going to be discussing animal abuse and torture that is being displayed on YouTube. Justice, can you tell us a little bit about the videos that are on YouTube?
Right. So basically, from what we've been investigating, there are over 1,000 channels that are basically involved in like fake rescues. And these channels are abusing these animals in order to make these videos very much.
So when we're talking about fake rescues, can you explain that to us a little bit?
Okay, so I'll give you a few examples. There are rescues where they've been tying dogs up and putting them on the backs of motorbikes and pretending that they're the ones actually saving the animals from this terrible fate, pretty much. there are rescues where they've been throwing them in rivers and then bringing them back out. And a lot of them have died from the process of this as well. There are rescues where they basically had like cats or other animals trapped in like glue traps or even bear traps, things like that pretty much. It goes on and on. There's an entire list of them.
That's absolutely horrible. And so you're saying that there are over 1,000 channels where...
Well, over 1,000, yes.
So where there are over 1,000 channels on YouTube where animal, where fake rescues are occurring. Tell us, unfortunately, this is very hard to hear. Tell us about the torture. Please don't go into too much detail. We don't want to traumatize the audience.
We'll do my best. Right. One particular rescue we saw a long time ago, it's no longer around, but there is a channel that's like connected to it, the same people pretty much. The rescue involved young teenage boys basically in Vietnam who were supposedly rescuing these kittens from this person who basically had the kittens tied to ropes and were swinging them around like basically toys.
Okay. So that's the type of horrific torture and abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about the monkey torture that you have seen. I know that has caught your group's attention.
Yeah, that's more newish in terms of what we've been focusing on. We focus mainly on the other like fake rescues, but the monkey ones we have actually seen a lot of now. And basically, this involves there are people that are claiming to be rescuing these monkeys that are like, away from their families and basically taking them into their homes, dressing them up on like nappies and things, pretending they're loving them. But there are videos out there that show like behind the scenes of the torture of these same animals. And this goes deeper as well. There are other channels that are basically using these monkeys and literally abusing them right in front of our own eyes.
So
and they're not hating it either.
So, Justice, what is the point of these YouTube videos? So animals are being abused, but tell us where
mm-hmm.
the money comes into this.
Right. So I'll start off with how they make the money. If you get over 1,000 subscribers and over 4,000 watch hours, you become monetized. You can become a YouTube partner. And you also can be, as soon as that happens, you can get a lot of money through these videos that you make. And so Markiplier and the likes of that get their money through monetization pretty much. And these people that are abusing these animals are gaining this. Some of them are even using stolen, in fact, a lot of them are using stolen channels from what I see.
So they're stealing channels, they're using their own channels,
mm-hmm, yeah.
But their goal is 1,000 subscribers with 4,000 hours, and then they become a partner of YouTube?
Yeah.
How else are they making money?
Money very much.
So how else are they making money?
They're also setting up to things like GoFundMe, PayPal, and sites like this pretty much. And it's never ending, to be honest.
How much money are we talking about, Justice?
We're talking hundreds of thousands, even millions at this point. There have been so many channels that we've found, and it's still growing as we speak.
Well, can I jump in here? And Karen, thank you so much for taking the lead on this, because we had difficulty getting Scotland Justice, who is in Scotland, to call in. So thank goodness, and I appreciate it, Karen, you patched Justice in, and you guys are doing a fantastic job. I muted myself, and I was just looking at a few things, watching the time before Nina, the founder of Lady Freethinker, comes into play. But I really have to tip my hat off to you, Justice, and your team for finding these channels and reporting them. But the sad thing is, you're reporting them, but they're not being taken down, correct?
No, that's correct. Like, we're doing everything to report. If we don't report, it means it just basically looks like we're not doing anything. So we're reporting as many as possible, and even then, nothing is happening. Many of the channels we reported are still there. they'll take a few down now and again, but unfortunately, it's not nearly enough to stop this. And it's like they just don't care when we try to reach out to them, they ignore us.
Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is when Lady Freethinker comes on, we're going to share, I have printed out, one of your team members who has jumped on the bandwagon, who first name is Gail, couldn't be on the show right now because she's working, has helped your team, Justice, you as well, Karen, to do what she does best. And what Gail does, which is what I love about Gail, and in my experience, I've been doing this for a long time, a lot of people, it's sad to say, will not take the time to write an email, will not take the time to fill out a complaint, whether it's with the IRS or with the, you know, they don't do it. And I don't know if we just live in a very lazy society or we just live in a very self-centered society. I think a little bit of both, but you got to take the time and send an email. With that being said, I'm going to hold that thought and don't go away because we're going to bring in area code 303. And I think this has to do with the first hour, but let's bring her in because she's waiting and then we will continue on. Just stand by. Good afternoon, area code 303. You're on the air with Inspector Bark. Can you hear me? One more time. You're on the air with Inspector Bark, area code 303. Sometimes people, what they'll do is they'll call in when they're supposed to. You there?
Yes, I was muted. I muted myself.
Okay, yeah, you need to unmute yourself. There you go. How you doing? Good afternoon. I think you're calling in reference to the first hour, so if we could give you like 2 minutes, and then we've got Lady Freethinker coming on, and I want Justice and Karen to finish their thought. So welcome to the show, and how can we help you?
You're not here to help me. I'm here to listen. This is Lynn with Tab 2 in Colorado. And all I'm trying to do is access. So I thought I'm trying to listen in. And so I'm not following. I can't get on my computer. So I'm calling in through my phone.
Okay. You know what I'll do? Lynn, I'll go ahead and mute you. You might want to just tell everybody what TABTO stands for because a lot of people don't know the acronym.
So TAB2 stands for Two Are Better Than One. In our group works, we've passed three really great pieces of legislation in Colorado in regards to warehousing of dogs, in regards to standards of care, and puppy stores. So we work in promoting better standards of care, and so that's what we do.
Well, I talked about you earlier in the hour. Maybe you were busy with the doggies. It's the House Bill 21-1160, correct?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And tell us one other Facebook page that you have, and I love it. It's called the Foster Brigade, correct?
So we have a couple. We have the Foster Brigade, and that is a brand new group that we're working on a rescue and shelter program in Colorado. We believe that Colorado is the third but will be the leader in legislation and addressing retail rescue, warehousing of animals. And we have a disease control package that's passing through our Department of Ag. It's been in the system about 6 months and should be completed this next year. So we have some really killer communities and organizations coming together to support standards of care for animal welfare and legislation, a lot of innovative programs and people. 1160 mm-hmm. was a piece of legislation that was done by Denver Dumb Friends League, which is the 10th leader in the nation in financially, but they happen to be housed here in Colorado, and they took the lead on that bill. It's called the Socially Conscious Bill. And primarily what it does is allows for the Department of Agriculture to have standards of care, and they're currently writing rules. It did become law in October, but currently it is going to address rescues that are rescuing animals. However, they're going into boarding facilities and standards of care for them in the boarding facilities. The rules have not been completely written, but it does allow our Department of Ed to go in and deal with self-mutilating, spinning, jumping, length of stay, and it's cutting edge. Nobody's done a bill
I'm going to wrap this up because you're so right, Lynn, because this is what happens when you warehouse dogs. That's not rescuing, okay? And when they're spinning and they're self-mutilating, this is because they're saying, get me out of this kennel. So I love the fact that they're addressing that. And that's what I'm seeing in other parts of the country where they're not addressing it. These animal control officers, these police officers, who may not be experienced, they look and they say, okay, we're supposed to just look for food, water, shelter. That's it. Walk away. But on that note, Lynn, I don't mean to cut you off. I'm on to the second hour, but thank you so much. And I'm going to put you on mute so you can still listen, okay? You will still listen. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. So back to I love the fact when people call in because I know they care and they want to share what's going on in their state. So thank you again, Lynn. Back to Karen and Justice. What you're telling us, and this is what Lady Freethinker will also piggyback onto what you're saying, is that they're staging, let's say they're staging these rescue missions, that they just happen to get there in time as a boa constrictor is ready to, you know, eat a dog, a puppy. Oh, all of a sudden. So it's so sick. It's so sick, the world we live in. Can you expand on that, Justice?
I'm trying to figure out where to begin on this one because there's a lot of that going on. So basically, the way it actually starts off is they're basically pretending that they are just walking down the street or in most of the videos. And then all of a sudden, they'll basically come across some kind of animal that is like a dog or a cat, whatever. And they're basically a snake of some sort wrapped around it. But what they don't show is the fact that they're actually the ones staking it themselves. And the way they're wrapped around it is that the snakes aren't even trying to eat them or anything like that. It's like they're just there.
So you're saying that these people do this intentionally for what? To solicit for donations? What is the purpose? Or is it just a sick perversion they have to see animals suffering?
I think it may possibly be the first one, but it's mainly the second one, the money. They're definitely after the money, but not that much, because they get millions from it. And I say millions, I don't mean like millions of pounds or dollars. What I mean is like dong. In terms of Vietnam, it's dong. So that's what they get. And when they get millions of dong, that's basically a lot of money.
But we're not only seeing that in other countries, those videos coming from other countries,
no.
Correct, Justice? We're actually seeing some of those videos originate from the United States, from one of our favorite states, Florida, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Where in Florida? Do we know what area?
Ocala, we suspect it is coming from Ocala, which is next to a park that has monkeys that were an introduced species. And Florida is currently struggling with the introduced species of these monkeys. And so it appears that a foothold has been gained with sympathy from certain members of the public. We're seeing residents, citizens of the United States subscribing to these other torture channels involving monkeys. It isn't good news, Darcy.
No, and you're right. Ocala, that's really known in Florida as horse country. It's in the middle of the state, I want to say, maybe, near Orlando. But it's supposed to be, it is beautiful. There are a lot of beautiful homes there and acreage and all that. And you said Ocala. That's where it is. Unbelievable. Well,
yes.
You know,
yes.
I'm mentioning what you all are talking about, and I consider this a deep, dark web. We're talking about, oh, hold on. You know what? You keep talking. This is Lady Freethinker. You keep talking. Handle it, Karen. I've got to take this call and stay there, okay? Don't hang up. Keep talking. Keep talking.
The other thing that we discovered about YouTube is that YouTube doesn't have screening. It's up to people making complaints about these channels. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that definitely strikes. And no matter what you do, you can't get a hold of them at all. There's no way of reaching out to YouTube to get it
but
started.
But we should still make the complaints, correct?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
if we keep complaining, at least they actually can't turn it back on us and say that we did nothing, pretty much.
And the worst part that we've also recently learned is there is an overlap between these animal torture subscribers and subscribing to what else?
There is other channels out there that are showing children being hurt in certain ways, accidental or purposefully. This has been happening for years now, but yeah.
Child abuse. So some of the same people who are subscribing and creating channels about torturing animals are also doing the same, abusing children. Is that correct?
From what I can tell so far, it's mainly linked to the monkey abuse channels, but yeah,
okay.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm back.
Darcy.
Go ahead, Karen. What'd you say? Sorry. We've got Nina, Lady Freethinker, on hold. She had called my number by mistake. So finish what you were saying, Karen. I missed that.
So we were getting to the point where we are discovering that people who are subscribing and creating the monkey torture videos are also subscribing to and creating videos on YouTube with child abuse. And Justice was about to tell us where we need to report all of this.
Well,
Justice, do you want to hold off? Do you want to hold off until Lady Freethinker comes on? Or do you want to go ahead and say that, because there's one more thing that I need to touch on before we bring her on? Go ahead.
I'm happy to let you go on.
Go ahead. How can we help you report these channels?
Right. Well, I was going to say one of the main ways is obviously keep reporting to YouTube. If you have a PC, it's more accessible. But if you're on mobile, there isn't really a thing for animal abuse, strangely enough. So if you have a tablet or you have a PC, you're more likely to be able to report animal abuse. But you can probably report it through violence as well. Another way I can think of is try and report it to your local MPs or anybody you know might be able to do something about this.
So at this time, before I bring on the founder of Lady Freethinker, she is waiting in the queue. You mentioned animal abuse goes hand in hand, and we see this. Serial killers, Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, they start out with an insect. They work their way up to a bullfrog. They work their way up to, a cat, a dog, and then, well, what's next? Let's go for the humans. That is truly what's occurring. But I also am a member of the International Human Trafficking Institute, and I get their emails. I attended the GBI, which is a Georgia Bureau of Investigation meeting last November, and it was on child sex trafficking. Our first lady here in Georgia, her two missions is child sex trafficking and improving on animal welfare. Well, she doesn't do so great on the number two spot, unfortunately, here in the state, but she is trying to make a difference in Georgia alone. So this letter I get every month, and I pulled up November's newsletter from the International Human Trafficking Institute, and it talks about the dark web, it talks about child pornography, it talks about child abuse, and how these people, these sick, perverted people, enjoy watching this type of stuff. I just don't understand it. And maybe Lady Freethinker will explain that here in a second. But this is what IHTI, which again stands for International Human Trafficking Institute, this is what they wrote in closing. IHTI urges everyone to be intentional about discussing human trafficking, not just with children and teens, but adults. As a community, we can turn the corner and shift what happens in our communities through awareness. I love that last sentence. And one more time, I'm going to repeat it, and then I'll bring on Lady Freethinker. As a community, we can turn the corner and shift what happens in our communities through awareness. I mean, is that well stated or what, Karen and Justice?
Excellent.
Excellent. Yeah. So on that, thank you. On that note, I'm going to bring on Lady Freethinker. She has been waiting over 4 minutes, so thank you so much. Let's bring her on. It just takes a couple seconds. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. We have on the panel, Karen is located in Alaska, Justice for Animals, which is Justice, the number four animals, is on the phone, patched through. He's in Scotland. And we are fortunate to have you on from California. So thank you so much. And go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for having me. My name is Nina Jackal, and I'm the founder of Lady Freethinker. We're a nonprofit organization dedicated to exposing and stopping animal suffering. And we've been tracking animal cruelty videos on social media for the past couple of years. We've published a couple of reports, been involved in some other research, and currently, we have a lawsuit filed in California against YouTube for knowingly distributing videos that display explicit animal abuse.
Can you touch on, I know it's an active lawsuit, so you can't really discuss that particular one, but can you go back, Nina, to the one back in May of 2019 that I pulled up when you and I were chatting on Saturday regarding Facebook and how you felt as Lady Freethinker, your organization, that you felt that Facebook was used as a platform to promote illegal dog fighting, puppy trading and all that. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So that investigation into Facebook and dog fighting groups who are promoting their activities on Facebook was kind of our first real deep dive into animal cruelty on social media. And, you know, what we saw in there was really disturbing. We had people from all over the world who were really glorifying the gruesome activity of dog fighting and, you know, sort of half hiding the fact that the post were attributed to this because it's illegal in most of the world to force dogs to fight. But they have these sort of code terms that they use, and they'll boast about their dogs being grand champions, you know, meaning they've beaten, you know, a certain number of dogs in fights, and they'll use, you know, little abbreviations like GR, CH that are really transparent if you know what to look for, but still, I guess, not quite enough to trigger social media platforms to remove the content. So we found a lot of posts like that. And, you know, probably the most disturbing ones were where we saw people actually selling puppies from these, you know, fighting lineages, you know, most likely selling them to people who were going to fight the dogs or were involved in dog fighting in some way. So we found a lot of these videos and just a lot of these posts, not just videos, but posts that, you know, either glorified or promoted dog fighting or sometimes showed really awful cruelty, like a dog, you know, mutilating another animal or chasing another animal as part of dog fight training. And private groups where people were just discussing this stuff and, you know, encouraging each other.
You know, I'm reading the article, and I'm going to have Karen and Justice jump in here in a second. And we do know, and if you don't know, dog fighting is a felony crime in all 50 states here in the United States, okay? It's been banned in the United Kingdom for over 180 years. since the Cruelty to Animals Act of England and Wales was passed in 1835. But when I read this article, Nina, and I read where somebody from Facebook came on and said, well, we're looking into this and we're going to take care of things, I almost feel like they're just pacifying you, pacifying others, going to brush it under the rug until it quiets down, and then, you know, a few days go by and everybody goes back to their routine and they forget about it. I find that is the case that we're seeing on these platforms where Facebook, they've gotten so big, they don't care. I don't believe in my heart of hearts they are a friend to the animals. And I think they're not a friend to children, because if they're allowing these platforms, I'm just baffled by this. I really am. I can't believe that there's such mean people in the world, but I get it. You know, what do you have to say about that, Karen? Let me just go ahead and ask Karen for her thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I think you make a great point, Darcy, and I think that there are gatekeepers who are taking a look at these issues and asking exactly the same thing. Why is this being allowed? Why is it that YouTube's method of reporting videos that are inappropriate is depending solely on public complaints? Why do they not have an appropriate filtering system? Why is it we report videos on Facebook and YouTube and they remain up?
Yeah, precisely. Let me tell you, Nina, what Justice has been doing. And he and I spoke, along with Karen, a couple weeks ago on Skype. I was brought into this group. I started listening to what they had to say. And like I told you, Nina, like I told the group, I cannot watch these videos. I don't want to see that. That's sick to me. But there are sick people out there. And I have to really applaud Justice for what you're doing and what your team is doing. And thank you for that, because here you are in Scotland. I'm in the United States. Alaska is Karen. Nina's in California. And we're all coming together to help these animals that cannot help themselves. What disturbs me, and let me just go ahead and have you comment on that, Justice, because it really is on behalf of you and your team doing whatever you can. So with that, I thank you so much. And if you want to just add what you want to say, and then I'm going to read this email that Gal wrote, which is interesting. Go ahead, Justice.
No, I was going to say thank you for that, but it has been a long road, and there's been a lot of people actually come up to me and tell me that it has been disheartening to them. People have even been taking attacks and such through this as well, just seeing this content. It's physically harming people that are watching this, not just to the animals, but to the people that are seeing it. And it is going beyond, I mean, like you already stated, like California and that is where we are from. So think about that on a worldly level. That's how bad this is. And it's just, it's insanity. And even I've had my own problems with it. I've had to basically take massive breaks because of it. That's why some of the videos are taking so long to be released, because that's how I expose these people. And it's just, I don't know, it's insane.
Well, it's almost like with Craigslist. Here's another thing with Craigslist, and I don't want to go down that path, but, you know, how many times do we see free to good home puppies, free to good home kittens? That is a breeding ground for these people that want to use these poor creatures as bait. I mean, I know, Justice, when you and I spoke, when we first made contact, what you told me about that guy somewhere, I think it was in Cambodia, where he was going into pet stores, buying these rabbits and feeding them to the alligators. I mean, who does that?
That wasn't actually Cambodia. That was a place in America. I don't exactly know where, but I know it's an American. The channel is from Gator.
Oh, lovely.
Is it Gator something anyway? I'll need to look it up again, but it's from the Gator.
Interesting. How nice. Lady Freethinker, we talked about you before you got... Okay, before you came on, Lady Freethinker, you have a Facebook page. It's called Lady Freethinker. Freethinker is all one word. You also have your website, ladyfreethinker.org. I was on it earlier. You are worldwide. Your organization is worldwide. I know you're a 501c3. How many people do you have that are volunteering on behalf of Lady Freethinker?
Well, we actually are worldwide, and animal cruelty happens globally, and we live in a world where we can learn about it from any country, basically, as long as we have internet access, and I think that's one of the incredible things about being an activist today. That's a good question. As far as volunteers, they're kind of different levels. We have a staff. We have a staff of six people, which I absolutely could not function without, and they do amazing work, much of it of which is tracking animal cruelty on social media. But, you know, beyond our staff, we have a very engaged subscriber base who is constantly reporting to us what they find, and they're absolutely invaluable in our work tracking animal cruelty, learning of new cases, learning of new videos on Facebook or YouTube. And in that sense, we almost have, an entire subscriber base who you could call volunteers in some way, because they're signing petitions and they're actively helping animals. And in those terms, it would be a few hundred thousand, although that's kind of mind-boggling to think about. It's really it's a broad effort, and I'm very grateful that there are so many people around the world who care about these issues as much as I do and are willing to speak out about it and actually do something and not just sit back and watch.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key right there. I love what you just said. Instead of just sitting back and watching, people like Justice and his team, Karen up in Alaska, working with what she's doing there to help improve animal welfare in her state. I love that. And I really feel that Justice, really, you would really do well with maybe, working synergistically with Lady Freethinker and also even Gretchen. We all watched that as a group, what Gretchen did. And forgive me, I don't have her organization in front of me. Nina, do you know Gretchen Peters' organization? She's doing great with wildlife trafficking.
Yeah. She's amazing. And she's part of ACCO, the Alliance for Countering Crime Online.
Right.
And I think there are other organizations that she's involved with as well.
So let me tell you, and I know Karen and Justice, please chime in. We have a friend that's here in the United States. She's up in the Massachusetts area. She's working right now. I really wanted her on this show. She is a go-getter. I love people that go above and beyond. And to be honest with you, Nina, I think she does too much. And I worry for her because, we all do get burnt out. We all do get burnt out. The woman does work full-time, but she cannot say no. If it involves an animal, she is right there with us. Is she not, Karen and Justice? I'm talking about Gail.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Gail sends an email. First, she sent a fax. I think it was a fax. And I'm going to read it to you, and I know I sent it to you, Nina, and I know Justice and Karen have it. So this is my thought process. I want to go to the top. I want to go to the top. If I know that there's an organization out there that maybe gives back to the community, and maybe they're giving back to these rescues that are not that reputable. Tito's Vodka, for one, I think they manufacture either in Arizona or Texas. Tito's Vodka, fabulous. And he gives back a lot to the community. And unfortunately, what they look at is basically, all right, the rescue is a nonprofit, being a 501c3. That's good. Wash our hands. And yes, we'll go ahead and, give them a grant or whatever. Well, that's not it. And my area of expertise, Inspector Bark, I do a deep dive into these animal rescue organizations because we see that there's a lot of bad ones popping up. I call them fly-by-nights. So basically what Gail did is what I would do is I go to the top. Gail went to the CEO of YouTube, And the woman's name is Susan Wojcicki. It's hard to pronounce. I think it's pronounced Wojcicki. Her last name is Wojcicki. You can find her on Twitter, people. You can find her on Twitter. She is the CEO of YouTube. This is where Gail excelled. She sends an email to Dear, and I'm going to read it to you. Dear Miss Wojcicki, I hope this email reaches you as I search for your correct email address. This is a plea asking for YouTube to delete all videos and channels depicting animal cruelty. YouTube has a moral and social obligation to provide viewable content regardless of what Section 230 dictates. So thus, by continuing to allow these offensive types of videos to be uploaded would only glorify these killers and sociopaths. The type of people that make these animal cruelty videos and upload them clearly do it for likes, attention, and making profit. Here's also the problem. Many have hit the report function to report a video, but that cruelty video still shows. Why is YouTube still showing these cruelty videos after they have been reported? Case in point, a kitten killing video with channel name HamsterLover445. Video is titled, I Can't Breathe, where this person steps on a black kitten to kill it and wrote, blacks and black cats should be trampled underfoot, quote unquote. Can you please delete this entire account and ban them from YouTube? The video channel above of these horrible kitten killing videos have been reported, and yet YouTube still shows them. Please take it down permanently. Continuing to show these horrific animal cruelty videos only adversely taints YouTube's reputation. So with this request, we respectfully ask that you monitor and delete all animal cruelty videos on YouTube and permanently ban those users. Perhaps the URL links can be used for law enforcement purposes. Thank you kindly in advance. We welcome your response to verify you received this email. Sincerely, Gail Marconi. She copied Justice for Animals. She copied Karen and two other people on Justice's team. So we think that's great, a wonderful email. So Nina, guess what happens?
Well, my guess is not much, but I'll let you
Well, know. Actually, well, I'll tell you what, it actually did get down to another individual, and I do have that email here, and I'm going to find it. Here it is. Okay. So Gail, sure enough, gets an email response. Hi, Gail. I hope this email finds you well. My name is Lucy, and I'm reaching out on behalf of the community outreach team at YouTube. My team helps contact users who may not otherwise get an opportunity to engage directly with a single point of contact who can address questions or concerns raised by YouTube creators like yourself. Now, listen carefully to this next sentence. Okay? Listen to this. I've been made aware that you recently contacted one of our employees with concerns related to content that you've been seeing on the platform and called out one specific channel, HamsterLover445, for animal abuse. I understand how important this issue is and want you to know that my team and I are best suited to handle this concern and support you. Moving forward, while we recognize the desire to get in touch with someone at YouTube, we ask that you only communicate through the approved support channels listed for our users. That being said, I will be your main point of contact in this instance. She went on to talk about the steps and all that. Best regards, Lucy. Let me just say my two cents, and then I'm going to ask for your feedback. And I'll start with Lady Freethinker. I read between the lines here, folks. This woman named Lucy doesn't want you to go above her head. Because guess what? If you go above her head and you continually write to the CEO and say, look, why should we go to her when nothing's being done? We're going to go to the top. My feeling is this email says to her, says to Gail, you reached out to another employee. No, Gail reached out to your boss, who happens to be the CEO. So don't refer to her as just another employee. She's your boss. She's right there at the top. I read between the lines here, and basically this woman apparently doesn't want the higher-ups to see that maybe, possibly, she's not doing her job. What are your thoughts on that, Nina?
Well, I don't want to speculate, and given our active lawsuit, I don't want to comment directly on YouTube's response. I will say that in our past communications with YouTube, you know, we also have not been able to speak with anyone at a high level. I do want to give a shout out to Gail. I also do know her. She reaches out to us with information sometimes about abuse that she's seen and has ideas, and she's a powerhouse and does fantastic work. But yeah, you know, without, you know, speculating or really commenting on this specific instance or YouTube's intentions, which, you know, obviously I can't know, I will say that our experiences have been similar in that we have not gotten responses in our outreach to Susan, which we have attempted to reach out to her a few times. So.
Okay. And on that note, Justice, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm sorry. My thoughts on it is basically exactly the same. It's just, it feels like an unwarranted response. There is no reason for that. They should have gave a proper response, but it feels robotic to a degree. Like an automated response. It doesn't feel human at all. Like you went above us, so you're in the wrong sort of thing, instead of actually dealing with the situation. And I have tried to actually reach out in many ways to YouTube as well, just as you have, Nina, and just as Gail has. And it's been nada, nothing, just static, nothing but static.
Mm-hmm.
We also tried to reach Susan on Twitter itself. But unfortunately, whenever you try to reach her on Twitter, it's just like bots jumping. It's just nothing.
Wait, are you saying on Twitter? Are you saying on her Twitter account?
Yeah.
And what happened when you reach out to her on Twitter?
Nothing. As soon as you actually sent her a message, it's YouTube bots. It feels like bots anyway, tend to jump on and say, you're listening. But in reality, they're just not.
I understand. It's almost like they just don't care. Thank you for that input, Justice. Karen, what are your thoughts on this email that I just read?
So having a background in training related to corporate administration, I would say this is the classic slap on the wrist, brush off. However, the fact that the slap on the wrist is occurring at all is because Gail was successful in contacting someone who obviously was in a position of authority. So now my impression is that Gail, they're trying to corral Gail with this latest email. Are people in our organizations going to stop reporting these YouTube videos? No. Is Gail going to stop reporting to higher-ups? The answer is no. Will Gail be given anything useful from YouTube lower administration? The answer is likely not. We have great hope in Lady Freethinker and their efforts. And in fact, I guess our plan is to continue to report the YouTube videos, continue to create our own exposing the channels, and then also to relay information to Lady Freethinker. And our plan is also to continue to have the amazing Gail do her magic with reporting to higher up. So I think the letter is both good and bad. It suggests something effective, and it also suggests a corporation that is not listening to viewer complaints. That's my impression.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you
for
your
support, but
yeah.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And I think you're spot on. All three of you made very valid points. I don't know. I mean, does YouTube, I don't know, Nina, if you can answer this because the lawsuit. Does YouTube have like a board of directors that they have to answer to?
Yeah, I mean, they have their corporate structure. I don't know the details about exactly how their board works, but I mean, I would assume that that they probably have a board. I don't know if they discuss this. They should be discussing these issues. I don't know that they actually do.
Well, that's what I'm leading to, because I'm thinking, okay, if they're not willing to address this head on, then what we'll do, my thinking out loud for the viewers to hear, is we find out who are the directors, the board of directors of YouTube, and we go up the chain and work our way down. And what I mean by that is emails like Gal. Send them in a mass emailing. Copy people. Don't blind copy, because that's where I find I get my results. When there's a situation, somebody contacts me, okay, what county is it? What's going on? You copy everybody, because if they want to be complacent and not do their job and protect these animals that maybe are not living in they are living in deplorable conditions and they don't want to do anything and they just want to pass the buck, they don't want to do the paperwork, then by golly, we're going to have to let their fellow employees know what's going on. And that is where it sounds, I don't know how to word it, shaming them, I don't know. But I have an idea, and I will strategize with Justice and Gal and Karen, and we can take it from there. But it's just a matter of doing the homework, looking up these emails, finding out who's at the top of the chain. Because to me, when you read that email from this Lucy woman, she's telling Gal, no, 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 don't you go above our department. Well, maybe the department's not doing their job. Think about that. Thoughts, anybody?
I completely agree.
Did I lose you?
Yeah. This is Karen.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
seriously, why would she not? But why wouldn't she have said, thank you, Gal, for your email. I understand you reached out to our CEO. No, instead, she words it like, oh, you reached out to one of our employees. I see through that, but we'll worry about that. And Lady Freethinker, how would you want us to send any additional information? I guess people know how to do that because Justice is more experienced in this line of cruelty than I am. Just info@ladyfreethinker.org?
Exactly, yeah, info@ladyfreethinker.org. And we do read every email, and if you send us information about not just animal cruelty on social media, but any type of animal cruelty, you know, we will pay attention.
Let me just tell a story, and we've got 10 minutes left, and then I'm going to have final thoughts with all three of you. So I live in this county called Forsyth County in Georgia, and I knew the second in command of our sheriff's department. He had been retired from the Georgia Highway Patrol, and good guy, liked him very much. The week I told you that I went to the child sex trafficking seminar at the GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigations, like the FBI, but for the state of Georgia. A week later, the second in charge of the sheriff's department gets arrested for 2 counts of disseminating child pornography. You have the second in command of a sheriff's department who is supposed to protect and serve the community. Mm-hmm. So you really don't know these people. I mean, that saying, you don't know somebody till you live with them. And it's really very sick, because child sex trafficking worldwide is in the billions. It's in the billions. And animal cruelty, and coupled with watching child abuse and child pornography, I'm working a case right now where it involves somebody viewing child pornography. And to have to sit there and look over the evidence is very disturbing. It's disturbing that there's people like this walking among us. How do you hurt an innocent child? How do you take an innocent animal? On that note, one more thing, and then I'm going to let you guys speak. This morning, as I told you earlier, I love the news. I watch the news all the time. It's on my Sirius radio on the car. Parsons City, Kansas. So state of Kansas, Parsons City. The sheriff comes on and reports that one of his officers had a three-month-old purebred German Shepherd. The dog was going to be groomed as she got older to be a canine officer. The officer goes home, parks her car in her driveway, takes a nap because she's got to do a double shift, but she goes home to get a little shut-eye. The dog is in the secure backyard, 3 months old. She wakes up and finds the dog is dead, missing its head. Somebody came onto her property. Nowadays with Ring and, you know, surveillance cameras, I don't know how this went, but this is Kansas for you. Took the dog, removed it from the property. This is what the sheriff said. And you can Google this. Tortured, shot the dog in the head, and returned it without his head. What sick person would do that? Now, were they aiming at the police officer because they don't like cops, but to come onto somebody's property? Now, you know, my thought is, well, why is this dog left out alone? First thing you think of, right? But that still doesn't allow somebody to do what they did. And I heard that just this morning. So how do you do that? But then again, how do we have these people that, you know, murder? It's very disturbing. And on that note, I thank you, Lady Freethinker, for coming on the show. You're making an impact. You've got Justice for Animals over here in Scotland with his team. You've got Karen in Alaska. We want to help you. Tell us what more we can do to help, and tell the audience what we can do to help.
You know, I would just say don't turn away, even though it's hard. And Darcy, I also thought about that case today, and it's horrifying. And it's hard to face animal cruelty. For some of us, it's even harder than facing cruelty to other humans for some reason, maybe because animals are so innocent. But we have to pay attention, or else animal cruelty won't stop. So I would just say don't turn away, and speak up. Speak up when you see something.
I love that, Nina. And I always say that, you know, if you know something, say something. If you see something, say something. Justice, go ahead.
Sorry, I was kind of cut off for a second there. Just back. Yeah, I would actually agree with that. If you do actually see any of this, please report it wherever you can. Do whatever you can, because this is, it just keeps escalating all day for us. We find more and more every day in terms of these channels and social media and that. And it is, it's going through like Facebook and Instagram and other places as well. So it needs to be challenged. It needs to be battled as much as possible. And we need to do something to try and stop it.
Mm-hmm. And so the audience knows, Facebook and Instagram are owned by Facebook. Am I right?
Yeah.
Facebook and Instagram are owned, but yes. Okay. So, I mean, they're just taking over, and it's really sad, because when we do a story on the bad and the ugly in the world of pets on Facebook, and we provide the facts, the documentation, the evidence, what they'll do, the particular rogue rescue we're reporting about, they'll send all their little minions in to report the page and make up, I don't know, we're harassing or whatever, and Facebook will take it down without even looking at anything. They'll take it down, then we get the warning. So it's almost, in my opinion, I feel like the bad guys are winning. I mean, what's going on here? But we will continue to fight the fight. And just like you said, Nina, just like you said, Justice, we have to keep fighting. We have to fight and fight fire with fire. Because I'm telling you, these people that I speak to all across our country, they will say, well, I'm being bullied, I'm being this. Well, then you know what? You have to bully right back. Because it's a bully that when you step up and stand up against them, they back down. I'm not liked among the irresponsible rescues, but I don't care because I'm not here to be friends with anybody. My job is to protect those animals. And if you're not putting their needs first and foremost and using them for a financial pawn, then I'm sorry. I'm going to do everything in my power to expose you and report you to the proper authorities. Karen, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely. That's exactly how we feel, Darcy, and that's exactly what we do. We report if we see something that is wrong, we report it. And we tell our friends, we tell our colleagues, we reach out, and we don't stop. It's not acceptable to have these social media channels hosting animal torture. It's not acceptable for them to be hosting the abuse of children that overlaps with this animal torture. None of this is acceptable, and if we don't say anything, it will just continue. And so that's quite a burden in many ways, but it is also an honor to be in a position to do something about this. And the way you get in that position is you simply see something wrong and you decide to lawfully take steps to make it stop.
I love that. And it's so perfect what you just said. And I'll tell you, when they hurl personal attacks at us, and I'm subject to that, you know, they made up this blog about me in 2017. I don't even know this person. It's a blog. Anybody can write a blog, and that I was Baker acted in 2017. Well, I'm working as a private investigator. How could that happen? But nowadays, you can write up anything. I can hang up and go on to GoDaddy or whatever platform and make up whatever I want. They're not held responsible because they're just the platform. And that's what I think. That's what I think is happening with Facebook and YouTube. Well, we're just a platform. We're not the ones. So they always try to weasel their way out of it. I just got in my ear 90 seconds. On that note, I'm going to close here. Nina, thank you so much. Thank you and your team, Lady Freethinkers. You are doing a wonderful job. We will help you every step of the way, and we wish you success in the lawsuit. Karen and Justice, Justice Scotland, Karen in Alaska, I thank you so much for coming on the show and taking the time. And on that note, I wish you guys all a happy holiday. Nina, I've got some ideas that maybe we can present to you in the near future. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming on the Inspector Bark Show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Justice. Thank you so much. Thank you, Nina. You have a good day, everybody. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Okay. Stay tuned, and we will then put on the Inspector Bark Facebook page the next up-and-coming show. Everybody have a great night, and thanks for listening.